Welcome to the One For You podcast, straight from Switzerland, where cinemas are still closed with no imminent prospect for opening. Much sadness. So, this episode, we'll be doing something unprecedented. Instead of discussing two films, we'll be focusing on a TV show. Gasp! Yes. And that show is one that both I and my guest have been looking forward to, WandaVision. Astrid Abasi, how excited are you to talk about this show?
Very excited. I've been watching it since it came out, basically catching it as it came out with an entire at-home cinema set up with my girlfriend and my brother. And it's been a sort of like a weekly mini MCU experience at home for us. So it was very nice.
That does sound very cool. I've been watching it all by myself. But it was still fun. Or was it? I don't know. We'll was see. But of course, we've also been, you know, watching other stuff because it's like only like 7 30-minute episodes or something. Yep. So, you know, you've got lots of time to watch other things. So I, among other things, I've watched The World's End by Edgar Wright, which is the final entry in his Cornetto trilogy. And it's basically, you know, with the usual suspects. So we have like Nick Frost and Simon Pegg, and they're part of this friend group. And Simon Pegg's character is not doing well at all. And he feels like the greatest night of his life was when he and his friends went on a pub crawl. So it's like, I'll just recreate it and everything will be great. And so he forces his friends to come with him on this pub crawl with like 10 pubs. And their last one is called The World's End. I don't know if that's significant or not in this film. Anyway, and there's a twist that I don't think I'm going to spoil for, you know, those people that haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. Just, you know. But it's a very funny and energetic movie with, like, some serious stuff in there. Uh-huh. But quite a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I have to ask this. How do you rank it within the Cornetto trilogy? Mm.
You know, I was thinking about this after I finished the movie, and then I realized that it's been so long since I've seen the other two. So I can't really do a ranking, but I like remember, for instance, that I found Hot Fuzz hilarious. So that was a good one, but I mean, also I'm bad at ranking stuff, you know? It stresses me out. Like, have I considered all the aspects that I could use for a ranking? I don't know. So I'll just say this one is a good one.
How was it within the context it came out originally?
I don't know.
All right.
Yes. And how about you?
Yeah, as you say, Hot Fuzz is extremely funny. I think it's still my favorite among the three. And I would personally rank The World's End at the end, but still good. It's still good. Okay. What I've been watching personally most recently is The Owl House. It's a animated fantasy cartoon like on Disney Plus, created by Dana Terrace. And it's about this girl, Luz, who doesn't really like reality, is a little bit of a someone stuck in the clouds with it. And she gets transported into this fantasy world, which turns out to not be quite as she imagined a fantasy world to be. But she then just sort of starts on her journey to become a witch. It's very fun. It's, as I said, a Disney show, but it reminded me more of some Cartoon Network stuff like Dexter's Laboratory or Powerpuff Girls in the way it looks and the way it animates. The humor also has some like nice heartfelt moments. There's the first season is out on Disney Plus, 19 episodes I think, and after watching like 5 or 6 I can definitely recommend it.
Okay. So I've been nodding along like any of this means anything to me. Like I've heard of these shows and I'm like, but I haven't. But it sounds very nice. I mean, like fleeing from reality and becoming a witch. I don't know. I feel like this is something that I'm aspiring to currently. So
who isn't?
Okay, so Owl House, you can check that out on Disney Plus. And on Disney Plus is also where you can check out WandaVision, which we're going to be talking about. So just a few warnings. So at the time of recording, 7 episodes are out of a total of 9. And we are going to talk about them in great and excruciating detail. Or in other words, there will be massive spoilers. So if you don't want the spoilers, I think you should just first go watch the show and then come back. Or maybe you've already watched it and you just want to know, like, do people think, you know, the same about this show as I do? Maybe you want to then afterwards come yell at us because, you know, we're getting it wrong or we haven't picked up on this one special clue. But either way, spoilers, be warned. Yes. Okay, so WandaVision, for those who don't know what it is, it's a show that is part of the MCU, so the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's about Wanda and Vision, whom we've both sort of met in the cinematic MCU. So last seen, at least Wanda in an Endgame and Vision in Infinity War. So yes, obviously there will also be spoilers for those two films, just in case. Yes, because Vision, obviously, he had one of the Infinity Stones, the Mind Stone, right?
Yes.
In him, basically, that animated him. And Thanos obviously wanted that stone, so he killed him. And Wanda obviously did not take that very well.
No.
But that's not where we start, because where we start with this show is basically in a very happy place, except that place is like a 50s sitcom where we have Wanda and Vision as newlyweds. And basically they're living through, you know, sitcom shenanigans. And then the next episode, it's suddenly the 60s and more sitcom shenanigans. And then it's the 70s, suddenly in color and more sitcom shenanigans. And all the while, they're living their perfect life in a way. But obviously something is weird because they keep switching from sitcom to sitcom. And there are also these hints, basically, that not everything is as it should be. And we obviously are trying to find out, like, what is happening, who is doing this, and just how nefarious is it.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's basically the setup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, how truly excited were you about WandaVision before it came out?
Very excited about the concept itself. It sounded just like unlike anything else they have done so far in the MCU. I think this is something we probably agree on, that like after Endgame, it was sort of like a nice way to end the MCU. It could have ended there, and I think a lot of people would have been more than happy. We got Spider-Man Far From Home, yes, Spider-Man Far From Home, which I personally enjoyed a lot. I enjoy Tom Holland and Jake Gyllenhaal on screen. It's very, like, I thought it was a nice film, but I personally didn't need it. And WandaVision was something like, because again, like Far From Home, as nice as it was, as nice of the visual effects were and sort of the conceit, the hook of the main villain, I thought it was starting to feel a little bit samey. I mean, the entire MCU started to feel a little bit samey ages ago, but they still managed to sort of get me to follow it because there was an overall story.
Yeah.
And with WandaVision, there was something, so like it felt like, even from the very first descriptions, it felt like something unique within the MCU. That's what had me excited for it.
Okay. I mean, I have to say, I was a little bit skeptical. I know in a previous episode I said, like, I was looking forward to it because I wanted to see what it was. But still, I was skeptical because, as you said, like Endgame would have is a good. It's like the end, right? And yeah. I mean, that was like what 21 or something movies over 11 years, and. Yeah. I watched every single one of them, except for the Hulk movie. I watched every single one of them, right? And I was, like, very invested in the MCU, I think. Like, uh-huh. I think we both were, like, I remember yeah. very, very heated discussions.
No.
What? As never. But, yeah. And then, you know, there's more. Now, there's so many TV shows that have been announced. You know, the first ones we already know, like WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, and what's his name?
Hawkeye,
yes. And, you know, and now they announce even more, so there's even more coming. And I know that I don't have to watch all of them. I know this, but it stresses me out that there's so much, and I find it a little bit off-putting. And then there's the other thing, because you said, you know, like, it started to feel samey in the MCU, and, like, they still got you because there was this overarching story. And I think part of that is because I was also invested in the characters a lot, you know. But Wanda and Vision were not the characters that I was invested in.
That is true.
I don't know. Do you feel the same? Or like?
No, I definitely agree with that. I think there is one. Was it in Infinity War? No, first you see them in Civil War interact with each other, where they...
Age of Ultron, actually, first.
Yeah. True. But like truly interacting with each other, actually.
Except there was this infamous scene that already pissed me off. I don't like Age of Ultron so much. Like, where he has to save her, and he saves her, like, this damsel in distress thing, and I was like, fuck you guys. Sorry.
No, I get that. No, like, in Civil War, you see them interact with each other, and you sort of see them bonding over cooking, and like Vision in his Mr. Rogers clothes. And then in Infinity War, you actually see them. Okay, they have developed a relationship, and I mean, I'll say it like this. It was cute. Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen are, I think, they are good actors. So they sell it. But in the story, it was like, okay, I just have to accept this now.
Yeah, definitely. And
so when you go into WandaVision, you're like, okay, I am supposed to believe this love story. And... I guess we can talk about this later, whether they managed, or should I, like, do you think?
I mean, we can talk about it now, like.
No, I think throughout the course of WandaVision, I think the relationship between the two of them became more believable, and that got more invested in it, like Darcy.
Okay. I have to say it still leaves me cold. I mean, it's at the center of the entire show, right? For a long time, this is what it's about. Like how they interact and everything. But you know what? Maybe why it doesn't work for me, or why I wasn't so invested? Because it's like very much second to the sitcom mechanics. So they have to interact in a way that fits with the different kind of sitcoms as they go through the decades, right? And so it always felt to me more like they're playing their sitcom roles rather than that we see actual Wanda and Vision and, you know, their great epic love story, I have to say.
I wouldn't even... Well, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't think it's a believable romance.
Yeah.
But I think the relationship between the two of them, like, as in more general, I think works better for me. Like, why the two... Like, the way they interact with each other, the way they fight, I think it works better for me than it worked before. Like, I don't necessarily think that, like, there's one moment in the newest episode, I think, where Darcy says that the love between them is real. Like, is it though?
Yeah.
Is it though? But just sort of them in this world, in their situation, works for me.
Okay.
Not necessarily as a romance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't think... I think the romantic streak is very understated anyway. Like,
yeah, which is weird for a show that is about this couple. It's like WandaVision, right? It's about them.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway,
it's weird, yeah. But maybe like if you then sort of talk about what the actual hook, like what how this came to be anyway, maybe.
Yeah. Well. Right, because it's actually, I mean, it is about them, but it's also like the big mystery is like who is controlling this situation, you know, and yeah. why is it happening? And yeah. there are so many different sort of hints that we get, right? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So, I mean, what's your theory so far and why?
I mean, it's difficult to posit the theory now when we've seen episode 7, but for a large, like, we're talking about whether the mystery works.
Yeah.
I think in the first few episodes, I was very much convinced that this is Wanda's doing entirely. And then they start introducing these hints that you mentioned, where I feel like, okay, is she just losing control, or did she never have control to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that part works really well. I think I was... this is sort of where the episodic nature of it and the 1 week, like one episode a week release really works in its favor. Because like after every episode, I was like, I need to know. That worked really well for me. And then the reveal itself, I have a few issues with it.
Okay, but say what the reveal is. Like, we can say it, right?
Well, yeah. Like, at the end of episode 7, you realize that it's this character, Agatha Harkness, who has been pulling the strings in the background. She is one of her neighbors.
Played by Catherine Hahn.
Played by Catherine Hahn, who is excellent in everything she does.
Yeah.
And you find out that she's been actually pulling the strings all along, and that
okay,
she's been...
that is a good question. Is that what we find out? Because I wasn't sure. I was like, is she also a component in this? You know, like, is it Wanda who sort of does it, and then Agatha is meddling with it, or you know, what's going on? Because I don't know.
I guess because the show up till now doesn't like is a sort of pulling the sort of the wool over the eyes, like how like who is actually doing what. I guess that could work, but I think the reveal with the it was Agatha all along. When you see her in the director's chair and all of that, I think it's very much hinted towards that it's actually been like
her all along, like she's doing everything.
Yeah, but like maybe that could be another red herring.
Yeah, I don't know. Because first, of course, what sort of steers me towards like it's not Wanda's doing is that would make her an evil person for real. Because in that hex, so in this sitcom world, are actual real people that are controlled somehow and they have to play roles and they can't get out and they're suffering, right? Yeah. And the problem is like if Wanda is controlling them, then... she's evil.
Yeah, but I mean, she was evil at some point.
What do you mean she was evil at some point?
Yeah, she was. She was technically evil in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
She
started as a villain, but yeah. I know she started as a villain, but then she was sort of redeemed throughout the movies. And I don't think they would go back and make her evil again. I don't know. Unless she becomes like the new big bad, in which case I would be so here for this because that would make it truly interesting. But yeah, that's because, you know, if she is controlling it, then yeah, that does make her the bad guy, really. And I was thinking about this because before we have this whole Agatha reveal, right, at some point we go outside of the hex and we see like a sword springing into action, mostly in the figure of Monica Rambeau, who's played by Teyonah Parris, and she's the daughter of what's her name? Her mom is
Maria
Rambeau, right? So yeah. From blah, 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 blah.
Captain Marvel.
Yes, ugh, words. Anyway, So we go outside the hex and we see how they're trying to figure out what's going on in there. And then the director of S.W.O.R.D., Taylor Hayward, who's played by Josh Stamberg, is like, we have to kill Wanda to make this stop. And then Monica is all like, no, we can't kill her. She's suffering and I know what she feels like. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Lots of people lost people during the whole, Thanos snafu. but like, that doesn't make it okay, right? And I think why I find it annoying is because it was the same logic as they applied in a Civil War, because she, the thing that happened in Lagos, right? Where she killed people accidentally. Yeah. It was an accident. Yeah. But then the international community was like, maybe we should punish her for this. And then Cap was like, how dare you punish her for this? And then Civil War.
And something we don't need to bring up here.
But it was like the same, you know, like, oh, she didn't do it on purpose or she's suffering. So whatever happened isn't, we shouldn't punish her for this. And that was something that I found annoying. But now maybe she isn't the one who's pulling the strings. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, I can definitely get on, like, get with not punishing Elizabeth Olsen. That is one of my main concerns.
Yeah. So what do you think about the whole outside of the Hex world? So the real world, basically.
I think I find it, it took some time to get where I wanted it to be. I think it was, in the beginning, it was weaker than the inside of the Hex story. Because there was really like just a few guys trying to figure something out, and I wasn't feeling like a real conflict or any tension there, except like, oh, we have to get to the hex, whatever. And now with sort of this adversity between Monica and Hayward, it works better for me. Like, so, like, I am now also wondering what exactly are Hayward's motives. And you get a little bit from it, like, you know, that they were trying to use, like, to try to revive a Vision at S.W.O.R.D. to use him as a weapon. And you're sort of wondering, like, okay, how does Monica, like, I was wondering, like, how does Monica play into this? And now with her getting back into the Hex and getting some powers, you know what her role is. I mean, I just love the actor who plays Jimmy Woo, Randall Park.
Yeah,
it's also very funny, and also obviously Darcy. It was nice, but it wasn't like it wasn't very interesting to me. I wanted always like every time they were outside of the hex, I'm like, let's go back into the hex.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So I have opposite. Yes, the exact opposite, because. So in the first three episodes, they're basically just inside the Hex, right? And I binged them all. So I didn't watch them weekly. So I binged the first six episodes. And I was like, oh my God, why, you know, get to the interesting point. And then when they were like in episode four and they were outside and we saw S.W.O.R.D. and we saw how Monica came back after the, what do they call it when they come back? The snap. Wait, they call it something else, I think. I can't remember. I still call it the snap. So the snap, she came back, and then how, you know, everything happened. And I was like, yes! Okay, this is what I want. This is the MCU that I'm interested in. Do it. It's exciting. We're getting somewhere. And like you said, and then I was excited for, you know, like, Jimmy and Darcy to show up in a way that I was not about Wanda and Vision, I have to say. Okay. Yeah, so for those who don't remember, like, Jimmy Woo is from the Ant-Man movies, and Darcy Lewis, played by Kat Dennings, is from the Thor movies. Meow, meow. That's her. And I was very, very excited about them showing up. And also because it advanced the story, finally, because it took so long. And
that is true.
Because I have to say, I mean, I thought this was, like, quite daring of them to have, like, at least three episodes where it's just about the sitcom life.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I know they dropped the first two episodes together and then, you know, then weekly, but it was also like, was this necessary? And I think this is something they could just do because it's on a streaming platform, so they don't have to follow, like, broadcast logic. But I feel like if this was on a broadcast TV network, it would just be, like, you would have had the sitcom thing in, like, maybe the first 10, 15 minutes of the episode, and then you would have gotten into more, like, background. And have to say, even when I had the chance to binge it all, it was too long with the whole sitcom stuff.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I thought the outside of the hex stuff, like, sort of conceptually, it added something, like, because you were obviously, like, at that point, they revealed that actually this sitcom thing is a kind of bad thing.
Yeah.
so that was like that it isn't just Wanda being, like, having created something for herself, but actually also, like, other people being controlled and suffering, then it sort of, like, worked. But it took, the outside stuff took a while for me to get going. It wasn't until, like, the conflict between Monica and Hayward is actually properly revealed that I was like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. Yeah.
Okay, so see, when that happened, I was like, no, not again. Because, you know, you were talking about the sameness of the MCU.
Yeah.
And this is a pattern that comes up all the time, that you have an organization that is there ostensibly to help, but obviously they are corrupt, so only individuals can solve the problem. And this comes up over and over and over again, and I find it very annoying.
That is MCU.
Yeah, and it's just, I was like, again? You know, and you always have the original founders who did it well, like Monica's mom and I don't know, Peggy for S.H.I.E.L.D. And then, boom, it's corrupt and only a rugged bunch of individuals who are not contained by any laws or red tape can solve this problem. And it's just, ugh, really? Come on.
That is true. I guess I'm a sucker for cliches. <That's fine>.
Yeah.
It's a feeling of familiarity. Yes.
Very much. Yeah. So, because I think that there may be too many episodes in the show, because we've seen 7, so there are 2 more, and only now is the real intrigue starting. I feel like it took too long to get here, and I feel like that's the same issue that was famously bogged down other MCU TV shows that were on Netflix.
Do you think so?
For me personally, yes. I think you could have, because I don't find the story intriguing enough yet, because I think they are relying too much on, like, little hints and playing with, like, comic book lore and so on.
Yeah.
For, you know, if you're not initiated into all of this, then I think it's less exciting. I mean, if you are, then you might, oh, that's a hint towards this, or in this fake TV ad that we have in the middle of the episode, ooh, this gives us a hint towards that. But I think you need to know too much to really get into that.
I think that was my issue with the Agatha Harkness reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know who Agatha Harkness is, and I feel like I am more into the comic side of things than the average MCU viewer, and I am not extremely familiar with her. Like, my superficial knowledge of her is just enough to sort of, like, okay, she's a witch, and she's traditionally more of a Doctor Strange villain, and that's sort of about where my knowledge of her character in the comics ends. And it's like, the reveal then was like, oh, okay, someone else was doing that stuff. It's like, and it's Agatha. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of like, to the viewer, if you're just watching the MCU, the name Agatha Harkness doesn't tell you anything.
That is true. And I feel like then the reveal falls a little bit flat because there were suspicions, you know, that she might play a more significant role because she's there all the time.
Yeah.
So, and at, in the Halloween episode, she was dressed as a witch, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, twist, yes.
I mean, it, again, like, it, it's sort of the reveal is mainly carried by Catherine Hahn herself because she, she's really good. And also, like, it's fun to reveal it in a kind of, with that TV intro style song. Like, the twist is really carried by those two things and less by the story itself.
Yeah.
Less by her, like, by her identity. The identity is just sort of like, haha, have you read the comic? So, that was my issue with the reveal. And it just sort of maybe plays a little bit into this issue that I have with the MCU on a larger scale as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, like I like the films, same as you. I was very invested in the first few films, and I feel like to some degree I'm still invested in them. But there's so much stuff outside of the movies that sort of you're almost required to know, not just comic stuff, not just the lore, but also sort of the knowledge that I think they revealed it, like they made a big deal out of WandaVision basically being a lead up to the new Doctor Strange film.
Yeah.
So you're already kind of feeling like, okay, why would you tie those things together? I guess there must be some real magic involved,
mm-hmm.
like some Doctor Strange style magic. And just sort of like that also, like, I can't help but have that in the back of my mind while watching WandaVision.
Yeah. You know what? I think that might be the issue, you know, that you sometimes have in general with the MCU, that movies or TV shows don't exist for their own sake, but only to sort of lead up to the next step.
Yeah.
You know?
It just sort of sometimes feels that way.
Yeah. I think that might actually be here the case as well, which is why they took so much time with the sitcom stuff. And now for the last three episodes, we're delving into that mystery, right? Of like... So maybe that's it. Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. Like, if it will depend on how they ultimately do it. I mean, as I said, like, so far, the entire thing really works for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Agatha reveal is competently done. It doesn't work 100%, but other than that, it's cool so far. It's cool. It's like I think it's a good addition to the MCU. I think from all the shows that they've made, I think it's like, including the Netflix stuff, I think it might be actually my favorite.
Hmm. Did you watch like all of the other all of the like Netflix shows?
Yes, and I'm not proud of it.
Okay, I mean, wait, what? I watched the first season of what's her name?
Agent Carter.
No. Oh, yeah. I watched all of Agent Carter. There was very invested. I think that might have been my favorite. But like of the Netflix shows.
Jessica Jones?
Yes. I watched the first season of Jessica Jones, which I thought was really good. And then I think I watched maybe the entirety of the first season of Daredevil. But that's it.
I mean, those don't really matter in the...
I mean, it's a different situation now, right?
Yeah. And I think that's what I find interesting about like your criticism of WandaVision, that I thought the Netflix shows were way more drawn out.
I mean, like,
compared to them, WandaVision is moving at an extremely brisk pace. A half an hour episodes help here as well, because like all the Netflix stuff used to be like 40 to 50, I think.
Yeah.
And so that is definitely an improvement for me.
Okay, yes, but, fair enough, fair enough. Yeah. I just feel
I absolutely get the criticism that they took too long in the first three episodes to get over the that was one of those things that I kept thinking, especially in the beginning, where it's like, does this TV show stuff really add anything to the story? And I mean, I've read some fan theories, like about the commercials that you mentioned earlier, like the fake products, that they are actually a Wanda subconsciously messaging something to the audience.
Yeah.
Like trying to sneak it past Agatha to, like, I mean, there's, for example, I would have to look it up, but like every single fake product sort of relates to her story.
Yeah.
Like about how you have the Strucker watches with her having been experimented on by Strucker, and the Hydra stuff.
Yeah.
And
Lagos is also in there.
Think. Yes, the Lagos paper towels. Yeah. And
for when you've made a mess.
And then in the newest episode, the Nexus antidepressants, sort of like, is this also something about Wanda, Scarlet Witch? So I think that it's nicely done, I think, but this is maybe where the episodic format, the one episode a week, is making it difficult to follow, because I doubt most people will remember every single ad and what it then, like, to put it into a larger context. But
fair enough. Okay, so one thing that we also need to talk about is Pietro. Because he comes back, her brother, but it's not the Pietro that we know from the MCU. Instead, it's Evan Peters from the X-Men universe, the Fox X-Men universe. So what do we make of that?
What is your take on it?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, is it... I guess it makes sense within the story, because it's not probably not her actual brother, right? So this is one aspect that we definitely know that Wanda isn't in control of, because she wasn't expecting him. And then she's also like, you look different. And he's like, well, you're just not as good as you think you are at this whole changing reality.
She recast Pietro.
Yeah, I don't know. Does this mean there's going to be an integration of the X-Men into the MCU? Do we want this? I don't know, man. I feel like this would be overwhelming.
It's like, what is interesting about it, I think, I didn't check it myself, but I think I read somewhere that that the audio descriptions on Disney Plus actually describe him as Quicksilver from the X-Men movies.
Oh.
And now the question here is, like, is it just something for, like, they added for the audience, so they understand what is unusual about this, or is it actually in universe acknowledged that he is actually from the X-Men films?
I mean, the thing is, right, if you think about this leading up to the next Doctor Strange movie, which is called
The Multiverse of Madness.
Right. Yes. So there might be a multiverse, and he might be from one of those other multiverses.
Yeah, it's sort of that, and then you have all those rumors about Charlie Cox, Daredevil, showing up in the next Spider-Man, and Andrew Garfield showing up in the next Spider-Man, and what is his name? Tobey Maguire, like, just sort of like having cameo appearances.
Yeah. And
you'd be like, is this a Spider-Verse situation again? It's just sort of like, but again, this is the thing about having so much knowledge about the movies outside of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it cannot help but impact your viewing of it. Like, you cannot go into the movie or into the TV show like you would go with, I don't know, with the Owl House. No knowledge whatsoever of the thing outside of it. It's just like, there's so much information about these things going around, and if you're just a little bit interested in them, you cannot escape it.
Yeah.
You can't watch anything in the MCU in a vacuum. And it's just sort of like, I feel like it sometimes makes it difficult.
You're right, yeah. Also, again, this is an idea that stresses me out, that, like, all the different universes are, like, folded into one. Because, I mean, I loved the Spider-Verse situation, but there was, like, because you didn't already have, like, you know, they didn't come, all of these different Spider-Men didn't already, or Spider-Pigs didn't already come with, like, a whole history attached to them, you know? Yeah. And now it's, like, everything is folding into one, and I think that's just too much. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder how they're gonna pull that up, because I think just tying everything into the MCU is just gonna be a mess.
Yeah,
I feel like it's okay if it's just like cameos, if it's just limited to stuff like Pietro, where it's just sort of like, okay, we have this actor who played Quicksilver in a different universe, in a different Marvel universe, and we can use it where it also sort of makes sense within the story that he's not the original Quicksilver, then sure, that works for me. But just sort of like to have then the Raimi Spider-Man films be part of the MCU, and the Amazing Spider-Man wanted to be part of the MCU, I just sort of like, no. Give Emma Stone her proper role.
I mean, it sort of already happened in Spider-Man in Far From Home, right? Where at the end we have, what's his name?
J.K. Simmons?
Yeah, what's his character's name?
No, it's like the actor is, Jonah J. Jameson is the character.
Yes,
J.K. Simmons is
actor. Oh, names, yeah. They're hard. Yeah, and he's from the Raimi Spider-Man film. So in a way, this has already happened.
Yeah, I mean, there's just one person retaking the role, but it's a different character.
And we don't know that yet.
Oh, that is true. Maybe he jumped through a portal and it's an Alex Jones kind of TV host.
Yeah.
Going through the portal made him crazy. Even crazier than
crazier. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to see. Like, I think maybe Multiverse of Madness is when this is gonna shed some more light on this, but
maybe.
Like the universe mixing, I am skeptical of that.
Yes, same. Okay, so, but there are obviously two more episodes of WandaVision, which I think we're both definitely going to watch, because, you know, we want to know what happens, right?
Yes, yeah, obviously.
Need to know what happens. I mean,
I need to know everything, all information.
Explain yourselves. Yeah. But overall, I'm like, meh, on the show, I have to say.
Okay. Well, I think I'm very excited just to see how, like, where it goes. Just as I, even though I'm skeptical of the universe mixing, I am excited about the format and sort of them experimenting with different kinds of stories outside of the tentpole cinema releases.
Mm-hmm,
I think this is a pretty solid first effort for them. I mean, it's not the first effort, but just sort of as a original Disney Plus show, I feel like they did a good job so far.
Okay, WandaVision, one for you, sort of one for me. Okay.
Half one for you.
All right, and as I said, it's available on Disney Plus. You can watch all 7 episodes, and then every Friday they drop a new one, so twice more, and then it's over for WandaVision, at least for the moment. We don't know, maybe there might be a sequel, don't know. Okay. All right, so is there anything you're looking forward to? And I'm also just going to keep talking, because I'm looking forward to Falcon and the Winter Soldiers. It's obviously the next entry in the MCU. And I have to say, like, you know, I'm skeptical about the shows for everything, for all the reasons that I've just talked about. But I watched the newest trailer for this one, and I was like, yes, this is the show for me, I think.
Could be. Like, it looks very much like Winter Soldier, like Captain America Winter Soldier. It has, yeah, like a very similar vibe. And also you have also a like in Captain America the Winter Soldier, where you had the main two, like Captain, like Steve Rogers and Natasha, in a sort of will they won't they romantic situation. You also have it here.
I wish, but I don't think that's gonna happen on Disney Plus, unfortunately. But you're right, I'm already way more invested in their relationship than I am in Wanda and Vision's relationship.
Okay. I mean, they're just very fun together.
So. Yes, exactly.
We'll see. I mean, we all, that is, again, like, you cannot watch these films without, like, I cannot watch these films without remembering all those interviews with Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie. It's like, you guys are such idiots. I have to watch this.
Fair enough, like, yeah.
Also looking forward to that. But now I'm, I feel like this is sort of your Disney Plus advertisement episode. I hope you're getting paid for it.
I'm getting all the monies.
No, because I am not looking to something specifically, but I am looking forward to Star being added to the Disney Plus subscription. It's by the time this episode is out, it should be in 2 days, so the 23rd of February. When they are going to add all of the more adult stuff to Disney Plus, like, I guess for some stuff for older audiences and not just the family friendly stuff, even though I think some of the stuff they have now is not very family friendly. Yes, let's
enslave people and force them to, you know, play out roles, because that's totally family friendly. That's okay, guys.
No, but like all of the Fox stuff that they bought, like big amoeba, and now we get to watch it now, like X-Files and
X-Files. Speed. I'm so excited about the X-Files.
Castle, apparently. Bones and Blackish is on it, so 24.
Blackish! Oh my god, yes!
Everything is on it. Like, the one thing that I am missing that we won't get, apparently, is Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh no, why not?
Which, I have no idea. I think it's an other, like, we won't get it, but other regions get it, so we might get it later. I don't know. Okay. Maybe one of those licensing situations, as usual.
All right. Okay.
Let's give Overlord Disney all our money.
Yes. Damn it. Okay, and that was it for this Disney Plus spectacular episode of the One For You podcast. Also, in other news, I have quit my job and I'm rich now. Astrid, thank you for joining me to discuss WandaVision.
Thank you for having me on this episode.
In the next episode, because, you know, cinemas will still be closed, we'll do something different again. So we'll not talk about any new releases. Instead, we'll be talking about the 90s Batman movies. Yay. No, oh wait, that came out over sarcastic. Wait, that's not what I meant. What I meant to say was, yes! Okay. to keep up to date with the podcast in the meantime, and let us know what you think about WandaVision and whether you're excited about any of the other MCU shows. You know, follow us on @OneForYouPod, and we'd really like to hear what you have to say, and also obviously recommend us to everyone who's not already listening to the podcast. Be like, I have something for you, and then just put it in their feed. Okay, hear you next time.
Bye.
Bye.